You're listening to the Emerging Leaders Podcast, hosted by the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce.
We are back, the Emerging Leaders Podcast. I'm here with Devin Grogans, powerlifter, bodybuilder. Bodybuilder is probably the correct term.
Yeah.
I'm learning the whole fitness industry, man. I still got a lot to learn.
You're doing well, though.
I once told Shannon Standish, I asked her about CrossFit. I do not do CrossFit. Like, she was offended that I would ask her that. I was like, all right, I'm learning about the cultures that we got.
It's fitness. A weird thing. Bodybuilding and CrossFitters, they don't see eye to eye. I think a lot of it is because in bodybuilding, everything you do is strict. And we feel like CrossFit cheats that line. The kipping and and don't get me wrong. Every year the CrossFit games are on, my wife and I love watching it. I respect the heck out of what they're doing, and it is not easy, but when it just comes lift for lift, I don't know. It's weird, but I'm one of those people. I appreciate all of it.
And you do a lot. I mean, you're big in the fitness world. You're big in marketing. Do you see a lot of crossover between the two?
I think so, especially now. I mean, bodybuilding, there's not a lot of money in it for people. I see a lot of kids, especially now, that are trying to get into bodybuilding to do it as a career. There's not necessarily a ton of money to be made in the career itself, unless you're the top 1%. Outside of that, it's marketing yourself. It's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's social media, it's, sponsorships and ebooks and those sorts of things. So to a degree, yeah, you have to be good at marketing to do it. Personal training, that sort of thing.
That reminds me a lot of when I was pursuing a career in music, and I was going on tours, and I was starting to work with some of the people that I really looked at as heroes. Mm-hmm. And then I learned like how much they're making. It's like, man, like that's a lot of work for this little bit of change. And
The record industry.
It's a special kind of person to pursue that, but God bless him for making it happen.
Right. Shout out to the Macklemores out there that are go the smart route.
Just crack the code, right? Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Do you, so I want to talk to you right now because New Year's Eve is approaching.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of, New Year's. People come with new goals, new year, new me mentality. And, it doesn't work for very many people. They kind of have this thought process of I'm going to be a completely different person when I wake up on January 1st. And I think someone like people like us understand that's not really how the process of growth works. So what do you see? Like, where do you see people making mistakes? As they're trying to improve themselves, they're trying to live a more healthy lifestyle. And then maybe we can talk a little bit about, what are some things that they can be doing to find success?
Yeah, this is a great question. And it's something that for me is very easy to answer because I was the person that would set those goals. Oh, this year I'm going to do this. I'm going to change this. And for a long time, I wasn't necessarily out of shape, but I wasn't in good shape.
So give us some context as far as age. Like when did you kind of make the shift and realize, all right, these small steps are going to get me better?
Oh man, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was like 2009, 2010, right in there. I played baseball at Chemeketa here locally. That's actually what brought me to Salem. And again, good shape, college athlete. I could hang with everybody. I'd go run 2 to 3 miles, but my eating was terrible. And I think that's where a lot of people fail, and we'll kind of touch on that. But the saying you can't outwork a bad diet is so true. And I would do all of the workouts. I would go above and beyond. We would have our, 4 or 5 day a week workouts in the morning. We'd be running, conditioning. I'd go to the gym on the weekends, play basketball. I tried to do as much as I could. I snowboarded a lot, very active, but I just ate trash. And so I never understood, like, why am I not seeing any changes? And so, I had the, new year, new me mentality, and every year it's going to be different. And right around 2009, 2010, I actually had just finished at Chemeketa, decided I wasn't going to play baseball anymore, ready to move on. And I just told myself, like, this is the year where I stop going 2 or 3 months and giving up. And that's where a lot of people really fail. Is, over time, they're continually eating or just having poorer habits. I don't want to say poor habits, but poorer habits. And you gain a couple pounds in a month, a couple more pounds the next month. Next thing 2 or 3 years go by and you're up 15, 20 pounds for some people, or you're just never really going the opposite direction that you're trying to. And that was always me. So, right around that time, I'd go 2-3 months. I wouldn't really see the results that I wanted to see. And then I would just default back to, well, it doesn't work. So I might as well just keep doing what I'm doing.
That is so demotivating when you're making decisions every day that you wish, like, I wish I could do this instead of, I wish I could sleep in instead of getting up and go to the gym. And then you're like, why am I even doing this? Like, I feel like I'm pretty much in the same place I was. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those little changes make a big difference.
And that's all it is. So over time, I just said, okay, I'm going to start taking more accountability in what I do. I told myself I'm going to run, I think it was, I don't remember the exact amount. It was somewhere around like 5 or 6 miles a week. And so that was 3 days. I would run about 2 miles and then I would weight train 2 to 3 days for the rest of the week. And I just kept doing that. And then it got to a point where I said, okay, now I really need to get the food thing under control. So I had a really good regimen in my lifting and my running. Overall training was good. So then I said, I'm just going to start tracking my calories. I got really big into like if it fits your macros, which is a whole nother thing we could go down. But I got big into it and I just started doing what works for me. I figured out how many calories I needed and I just stayed within that. And I was very religious in it.
What's the simple structure? If somebody's looking at just like the simplest format that they can use to figure out, okay, what should I be eating? What's a good path?
Prioritize protein. I think a lot of people, especially being a personal trainer for the last several years, having worked with people as early as the high school level, all the way up to seniors and across the board, I tend to see the same things. People tend to prioritize carbohydrates and fats over protein when really it should be the other way around. Protein should be the absolute staple to any diet. Regardless of what your dietary restrictions are. So if you're plant-based, if you're not, that's fine. But just make sure you're getting an adequate amount of protein, which is typically what I have most of my clients shoot for. And again, it varies based on their goals, but 0.8 to about 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight is a good place to be for just general everyday healthy living.
So if you're, let's say, what's an average person, 170 pounds, 180 pounds, like how much protein would that person should be eating? And maybe like give us context as far as like how much of these different things.
Yeah. So as far as protein, for an average 180 pound person minimum, I would say you want to shoot for, I mean, I'm not the greatest at math, but 0.8. So you'd probably be about 160, 150 to around 180. You could even peak that to around 200. I tend to push the protein a little bit higher if your goal is to reduce weight. But a pretty good range would be eat as close to your body weight and protein as you can.
Okay, that's good. Okay, awesome. So you got the protein. What else? What else are important elements of a healthy diet? Sure.
So then you have carbohydrates and fats. Both get a bad rap depending on what side of the scale you're on. If you talk to the Atkins or the keto people, carbs are terrible. If you talk to the people that love carbs, fats are terrible. The fact of the matter is your body needs both. I'm not here to downplay any diets, but I'm a firm believer that you should not cut out any macronutrient. For any reason at all.
I kind of want to downplay the keto diet a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I don't know enough about it, but
I could, but I want to respect everybody's opinion. It has its place. I think many of the different diets have their place. Keto does have some good benefits in the sense that it can reduce inflammation. There's some other benefits that go along with it, but longevity, it's very hard. And that's the hard part for a lot of people is sustainability, finding a diet that's sustainable. But
I think ultimately know yourself, talk to a nutrition. I don't know anything about medicine or what's going to negatively impact somebody, but I know for me personally, keto did not work. They told me like, follow these things, eat till you're full, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I didn't lose any weight, man. I probably gained weight, if anything. And I was working out pretty tough.
And that's the hard part, especially, again, being a personal trainer. Now, I'm not a doctor, so let me just go ahead and say that. So everybody out there listening to this, I am not a doctor. So this is purely just what I've come across, what I've seen, the information that I've obtained over the years. But you look at something like keto and you're cutting out all of your carbs. Okay. You know, that might be great, but if you're somebody who like yourself, whose body might not process fat as well as it processes carbohydrates, then keto's not for you. I'm in the same boat. I've done numerous contest preps. I've done some where we have done keto for a substantial amount of time, 4 months or so. Same thing, saw very little weight loss. We dropped the dropped the fats, up the carbs. My body will process carbohydrates very, very efficiently. So I'm somebody who I will tend to prioritize more carbohydrates over more fat, but again, they all have their place. So, to get back kind of without going on too far of a tangent, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Then when it comes to carbohydrates and fats, there's a ton of different scales and algorithm based things out there that you can use. The way that I tend to break it down for my clients is I do tend to keep the carbohydrates a little bit lower. Reason being is people tend to overindulge on carbohydrates, and a lot of times it's the wrong carbohydrates. There's no such thing as bad foods, but there are right and wrong foods for your goal. And so when we look at carbohydrates, you know, things like potato chips and Pop-Tarts, I mean, all those fall under carbohydrate categories, but they're probably not going to give you the benefit that you need. People tend to opt for carbohydrates that tend to do quick insulin spikes. So you feel great in the morning or right after you eat, but then you tend to notice some, you know, lethargy. You know, now you're on 4, 5, 6 cups of coffee a day, but I tend to break it down to,
Naomi just gave me a glare because pretty much for the last 2 weeks, I lived off cookies and coffee, like not even joking. It was atrocious. She was like looking at me, what about Devin's plan, Jake? I know Devin has a plan for you. What are you doing? You know, we both work with you, you know, as a coach. So we appreciate that. And, but people in the chamber office, like every day, somebody was bringing something incredibly delicious. And she was so good. She's in the room with us right now, but she was so good about, nope, that's not for me. I'm sticking to my plan. And I was on the other end of the spectrum, but this week's been better. I'm getting back on track, but sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. And it's moderation. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for all of those. I tend to, when I prioritize things for clients, I will typically have the majority of their meals throughout the day be moderate protein, moderate fat. Your body needs fats. So again, to touch on the keto, although it might not need to be all fat, you do need fats for a good hormonal balance. So I make sure that we have fats in there. It also helps slow digestion down, because if you're just eating protein, if you've ever just had like a chicken salad, you're usually starving shortly after. So the fats will help slow the digestion down within the body. It helps keep your blood sugar levels a little bit more stable. And then I tend to prioritize their carbohydrates based around their training schedule. So for somebody like myself, I tend to train around 3 o'clock. So my first 2 meals, usually breakfast, and then as I like to call it, second breakfast or meal two, is generally just moderate protein, moderate fat. It sustains me throughout the day. I don't get those crashes. And then pre-workout, my pre-workout meal is typically protein and carbohydrates. That's going to help give you the energy you need to get through the workout. And then post-workout, same thing, protein. Now that is a good time to have a quick carbohydrate. So Naomi can attest to this. My big thing is cereal. I love cereal. So a lot of my clients, it's usually a protein shake and a bowl of cereal, because it helps basically give you a quick influx of insulin, which will help pull the nutrients into the muscle, helps with recovery along with anything else. You know, your BCAAs, a lot of those things. So we try to prioritize a quick carbohydrate with a quick protein, something like a shake post-workout. And then the meal following that may have carbs or fat, depending on where they're at in the day. And then usually last meal of the day, same thing, proteins and fats to help keep you satiated while you sleep. Now, that's not the end all be all. I have done multiple diets, from intermittent fasting, keto, you name it. I've probably tried it. I've experimented with it. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. But I find for a lot of people, the most sustainable diet is something that incorporates a little bit of everything, that allows them to kind of get their carb fix, their fats, their proteins, and that tends to work well for people. So when I prioritize a diet for people, and it's hard to give direct numbers outside of protein for where you would put those, that's what I kind of aim for. And I tell everybody, you know, that's, in my opinion, a great way to set your diet up. When you're looking, number one, prioritize protein. maximize your carbs around your workout or training schedule, and then fill the rest in with fats. And you don't need much. Most of the clients, as well as myself, you're talking anywhere from 8 to 24 grams of fat, which if we were to put that into a tangible amount, you'd be talking, in Naomi's case, 16 grams of fat would be like 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, or 90 grams, which is about a cup of chopped avocado.
Okay, beautiful. Something else that I'm passionate about, and I talk about this a lot in the chamber, is how are we measuring what matters? Like, how are we measuring the impact of the things that we're doing? I know within fitness, generally people go to the scale. The scale can lie, though. Like, what are some effective ways for people to measure whether or not what the plan they're on is working?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I'm really glad you asked that, because there's two camps, and this one does get broken down into male and female. I'll touch on that here in a second. But a lot of people, obviously, the scale is kind of their number one motivating factor. And so the first thing you can do heading into the new year is throw that out the window. The scale is a tool. Just like anything else, if you were a carpenter, you're going to have a hammer, but your hammer is not going to solve every problem, right? So the scale is kind of like our hammer. You're going to use it often. It's going to do a lot of things for you, but it's not the only tool we have. So the three things that I really like to look at, the three basic things, there's really about a handful, but number one is how do you feel? If you're feeling better on the diet that you're doing, and for a lot of people, it's less inflammation, less bloat, you're not tired, you have more energy, higher sex drive, all of those sorts of things play into making sure that your diet is good.
And I don't want to say that I'm a mental health expert at all, so just speaking off my own experience, but for me with depression, it helped out a ton as well. Like 2020, 2021, just crazy years. And I started going through some, just feeling like a dark space. Mm-hmm. But when I cut out alcohol, when I got my nutrition right, I was working out, you know, twice a day. I just felt better. I just felt more alive, like ready to attack every single day.
Yeah. And it's so true. I mean, the better you eat, the better you feel. And the longer you do that, the more you're able to detect things that are happening within your body, which is crazy. Like, you look at somebody who eats fast food often. They probably feel terrible. They just no longer realize they feel terrible. You take somebody who has gotten away from eating fast food for quite some time. I've experienced this. A lot of my clients have experienced this. They get on a more regimented type of eating that is more beneficial to their health. The minute they go back to eating a cheeseburger that's, I would say, not the best quality fast food versus something like, say, you know, a Rudy's or a Bovine, higher quality ingredients, they typically don't feel very good the next day. If you've ever gone like a couple of months without eating Taco Bell and then you go eat Taco Bell, let me know how you feel. So the food that you put in your body does make a big impact on how you feel day to day. A lot of people that are just continually eating that are not knowingly feeling the effects of that because they've become so accustomed to it. So all of those things come into play. How you feel. Again, we have the scale is another tool, how your clothes fit. We see a lot of people where, you know, you might not necessarily be losing numbers on the scale, but you're losing inches. I don't know how many people that, I've talked to when we do check-ins, they say, hey, you know, the scale's not moving, but now I have to wear a belt, or I'm down, you know, another notch on my belt. And this is where the whole men and women thing tend to come into play. A lot of it's society, in my opinion, but women tend to be more fixated on the scale. And so that's an area that we have to navigate through heading into the new year. If you are a female and your goal is weight loss, yes, the scale is important, but don't let it be the absolute. If you are feeling better in the clothes that you were wearing, then that's a good sign. If your progress in the gym, you're getting stronger, or you're able to run further, whatever that fitness thing is that you're going after, whether it's strength, whether it's cardio, if those are improving, then that's another really good marker. And so those are the types of things that we want to make sure are on the forefront of our mind more than just what is that number on the scale, because that can fluctuate so much, especially with women when you're talking about menstrual cycles and things like that. When you are at that time and you're a female, your weight's going to fluctuate a ton. You're going to, you know, you're going to retain water. You're going to feel bloat. I've seen the scale go as much as 8 to 10 pounds for some people. And a lot of times it's just water weight, sodium. It's, you know, all of those different things. So make sure that you're tracking, other markers rather than just the scale. So that's a real big one to make sure you don't get deterred heading into the new year.
And I think also, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, but if you are using a scale or something on those lines, like look at it from the 1,000-foot view, where yes. It's not every single day. I remember for me when I was, I did the 75 hard challenge and as I was working through your program, and I remember there was a week where my weight was going up. So I went back and looked at what I was eating and there was tons of sodium. So I think I was retaining a ton of water. I don't know if that's a thing, but.
Yeah. Sodium will pull water into the cell. The muscle cell. And so it's important to know that yes, if your sodium is high, and you're not necessarily drinking enough water to flush that sodium, whatever's left will get retained in the body.
Interesting. I was drinking a ton of water, so I thought the water was all being retained, but it could have just been something else.
It can still be.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many different variables, but the short answer is yes. If your sodium intake went up above what your body was normally used to, then yeah, there's a good chance it most likely was water retention. Weight loss is also not linear. And so it's very important, like you said, to look at it from a 1,000-foot view because people expect it to be this, you know, slide. So to speak, if you were to look at it on a graph, but it's really jagged. You're going to have some ups, some downs. So you want to look at the overall trend. Don't weigh yourself every day. Weigh yourself at the same, when you do weigh yourself roughly at the same time under the same circumstances. So if you're used to weighing yourself right after you wake up, weigh yourself right after you wake up. Don't take a shower and then have a couple of meals and then weigh yourself at night. Those numbers are going to be so off. So you want to try to keep everything as consistent as possible. But maybe even just weigh yourself once a week. Look at the weekly trajectories of where you're at.
I want to talk about mindset a little bit with you as well. So I think with anything, like it starts with mindset and just having the focus of believing that, you know, this goal you have is possible, because we act differently when we believe that this goal is possible. What are things you look for when you start working with a client that are indicators of whether or not you feel like they're gonna follow through?
Yeah, so I put together kind of a questionnaire. It's got a blend of what their goals are, and then I make sure that I keep that goal on the plan that I send them. That plan also has their check-in protocol, which they copy and paste every week. So I know they're looking at it every week because they have to copy and paste that to give me the answers on how their week went. So every week they're looking at that goal. So it's important to have your goal put in a place where you're constantly looking at it and reminded about why you're doing what you're doing. There's also some fun questions on there that people always enjoy. But I think a big part of the process in figuring out why or what the goal is and being able to adhere to it is just uncovering what it is that's getting you up to do what you do. For some people, it's, I want to live a healthier lifestyle. For others, it's, you know, I want to have more energy to play with, you know, my kids or just, you know, be out and about. And so I try to continually ask them throughout the process, you know, hey, how's your energy levels? You know, you and your kids do anything fun this weekend? And so they're slowly being reminded, yeah, you know, last week we went out and we rode bikes for 5 miles. I've never been able to ride 5 miles. I'm usually tired after two. And so it's those types of small wins that are able to keep people going. We're creatures of habit as well as success. And so that's why they say the most important thing you can do is make your bed every day. And the reason being is because it's the first task you can check off your list. We gain momentum by being able to check things off of our list. And so making sure that you're getting those little wins in there are really important. So if your goal is to lose 30 pounds, I'm gonna dig a little bit deeper. Why do you want to lose the 30 pounds? Oh, well, I want to fit in this suit that I, you know, took my wife on my first date when her and I went out together. Okay, cool. So as we go, it's, you know, how's that suit fit? Oh, can't fit it yet, but I'm close. I had to just go buy a new pair of pants. My wife and I went on this date night, and cool. You know, those are small little wins that keep people reminded of why they started in the first place.
I love that. Start with the why.
Yep.
That's a big deal. I'm always curious for people that have kind of dual identities. Because I feel like, I mean, professionally, you do marketing. Mm-hmm. So you're probably better at marketing than you are at bodybuilding. But you're known as a, like, more of a fitness expert probably to people that, that don't know you super well. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I'll give kind of context. Like, for me, I think people still see me as a rapper, even though it's been like a decade since I've done that. And I hope to God I'm better as a leadership consultant than I was as a rapper. But still, people see me in that light more than they probably see me in this space where I actually am a professional and make money. But is that weird for you? Is it true for you? And is it like, I don't know, what do you think about it?
It really is. And by the way, I think you're doing a great job of where you're at now. And
thank
I
you.
Love the fact that you've been able to partner with the chamber and take on the role that you're in. I think it's going to do a lot of good things for the community, and it's a much needed space to be filled.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. But no, I run into that all the time, and it's funny because my wife will go places and somebody will say something, and there's always little comments, which is to be expected anytime you don't kind of fit the norm. But I'm not defined by bodybuilding. It's what I enjoy doing. It's a hobby of mine. I love marketing. It's something that I've been doing for the past 13 years. I think. And so I don't promote heavily, personal training and that sort of thing. But I think it is something that I run into often. And as far as I know, I'm kind of rambling. The original question was, how do I separate those two? Man, it's tough. I've been fortunate enough to be at a job, Salem Audiology Clinic, where I handle all their marketing, PR, that sort of stuff. It's been great. And it's never been better to be at a job where the moment I leave the job, they expect nothing more out of me. And so I'm able to kind of switch between the two more freely than I was in the past, where I had worked a job that I was kind of always on the clock, always working, had to be up early because we had clients on the East Coast, had to work kind of late because we had clients in Hawaii. And so it was just always, you know, work, work, work. And then I was trying to fit fitness in between. And it really brought down both, because I'm a firm believer that a jack of all trades is a master of none. So you can't effectively switch back and forth between things and have it work out. So I've been fortunate enough in the way that I feel that it's really been able to allow me to propel in both areas of life is I get into work early from 6:30 until about 2:30. My time is spent as a marketer. That is what I do. That is what I focus on. Beyond that, that is when I kind of switch hats and then go into personal training, bodybuilding mode. And a lot of the clients that I have will send me check-ins, and Naomi can probably attest. I will typically get back to a check-in sometime between 8 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock the next morning, because I prioritize first and foremost, my job as a marketer, and then my family and then personal training. And so I think just making sure that you kind of have those hard stops is what allows you to be able to do it.
I think that's good New Year's resolution advice as well, as people are thinking through like New Year, New Me. Mm-hmm. Like, think about the buckets. Like, when are you going to do these things that you want to do, and what's sustainable for you, and a lifestyle that you're ready to enjoy is a big deal. I love to hear that. The
Salem Audiology. I know Audiology. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue as smoothly as one would hope.
But I love that they do allow you to work in your strengths and have that work-life balance, because I feel like a lot of marketing roles, especially in the world of social media, like the marketing person is expected to have every skill. Like, they'll even list it in like the job description, like has to be good at video, audio, must be a graphic designer, has to be great at Microsoft Word and Excel, and have a background in journalism, and have coached a professional NBA team to a championship.
Right.
It's just like every skill, and then not paying, you know, quite at a level that would you anticipate for the amount of talent this person's supposed to have. So it's cool that they have a good work-life balance and allow you to do what you do great.
They do. And watching the forum that you guys had, not this last month, but I think it was November, when you had a lot of the local business leaders, and kind of the overall theme was what generates good culture. And I've been so blessed to be at a local business that generates almost all of the things that were touched on during that forum. And so that helps out a ton. So for any business owners out there listening, go back. First, reach out to either Jake or Naomi. Get the link to that video and watch it, because there's some really good points on there.
And if you're in the podcast, we actually released it as a podcast episode and we're on as Emerging Leaders. So you got Even better.
Yeah.
Listen and to also it on the subscribe. Go. Share this episode with five friends. Leave it a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to. And Devin, anything you want to add, man? I appreciate you so much for being here. This has been super valuable.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. The biggest thing is for everybody out there with New Year's resolutions, couple of things. Don't wait until New Year's. Set your goals as you go. As you complete those goals, continue to set new ones, because the biggest form of procrastination you can have is saying that, you know, you're going to wait until the new year to do something. So act now. Figure out what you want. Go get it. For those of you that are looking to gain a healthier perspective, healthier life come the new year, which is now what, 2 days away. You know, figure out a plan that works for you. Everybody asks me, well, what's the best diet? You know, like we talked about at the beginning, there's keto, there's fasting, there's this, there's that. The diet that works for you is the best diet. Whatever is most sustainable, do that. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to fall off. Nobody's perfect. That's okay. Just remember why you're doing it. Don't get discouraged. You didn't gain 10, 20 pounds overnight. You're not going to lose 10, 20 pounds overnight. So just take it one day at a time, and just stay consistent in your efforts. That's really the key, is consistency.
I love it. Good work, Devin. Yeah. Cool. I appreciate being here, man.
Yeah. Thank you.